City Radio in your city.
Cambridge 105 Community Radio in your city. The latest on the George Clooney, Matt Damon thing. We have photographic evidence, at least, of Matt Damon and also John Goodman, who has been filming at Duxford Imperial War Museum this afternoon. As for the studio, we can't offer you Mr. Clooney or indeed Mr. Damon, but we can offer you Rob and Lawrence with the gadget guide.
A poor substitute, to be sure, Julian. Good evening and nice to be back in the studio this week.
Yeah, good to see you.
It's nice to be doing this live again.
Rather than sending it in from a harbour and waiting for a ferry. Yes.
It was quite an exciting remote location, if nothing else.
Absolutely. We had probably the best view we've had for a show.
Certainly, and I think the background noise was quite
soothing. No offence, Julian. No,
that's okay. I'm not Mr. Clooney either, so there we are. So what are we going to talk about this week, guys?
So we're going to go back to Raspberry Pis. So I know that we spoke about these, or Lawrence did. I missed it. I can't believe it.
Rob managed to miss the interview with Eben, who's one of the co-founders of the Raspberry Pi Foundation.
Yeah, but we thought it was time to go back and talk about them some more, because there's been a few developments in the Raspberry Pi, but also in the community. And what we're going to focus on today is what's called a Raspberry Jam. So this was an event that Lawrence and I went along to about a week or so ago now. And effectively, it's a community Raspberry Pi event.
So basically, it's like the older computer clubs that used to happen around the BBC Micro time, where you carried your BBC Micro down to a school hall or something, community centre, and everyone plugged them into a TV and did stuff. Exactly the same thing happens now, but your Raspberry Pi, of course, you know that you can fit in your pocket. People arrive with those and monitors and plug them in and show off what they've been doing.
And the monitors, of course, haven't got that much smaller because you've still got these people walking in with 22-inch monitors.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm assuming they're not like the CRT things. That
is true.
At least they'll be flat.
Yeah, but effectively it's just an open event. Anyone could go along.
It's not open.
Sorry, it was registration.
You need to book to attend. We'll give you details about how you actually find out about it later.
Yeah, but anyone could come along. And there was a whole age range, as we'll hear. We've chatted to a few of the guys while they were there. Everyone from, I guess, 6 or 7 year old kids all the way
probably
up to...
Probably younger, actually.
Probably 40 year old kids at the old end, I think.
And possibly even older. But yeah, so Raspberry Jam, user group meeting, show and tells. They have people along who will show off what they've been doing with the Raspberry Pis and interesting technical projects that they've been doing. And where was it held, Rob?
It was at the Centre for Mathematical Sciences. So that's just near the Park and Wade off Trumpington Road, if you know that. Just on the outskirts of Cambridge, near Wolfson Court. Sort of Grange Road kind of area. Very, very nice building. Teletubby land.
Absolutely. And, I mean, they might have the next one there. They've just got to decide where they're going to have it. But when we give you the details, that will keep you up to date on where these have been held.
Well, we said that we started at the younger end of the kids. Shall we just have a listen to a quick chat that we had with Boris and his son Finnegan? So these were a couple of guys who'd come along. Right, so you're here at the Raspberry Jam this afternoon, and you've brought your son Finnegan with you, I think, Boris.
Yes, that's right. He was very interested in coming along to just see what it's like in the community and to meet other makers.
Fantastic. So, Finnegan, have you got your own Raspberry Pi?
No.
You haven't? You just use Dad's?
Yeah.
And what do you like doing with your Raspberry Pi?
Programming with Scratch.
So you like programming with Scratch. Finnegan, how old are you?
7.
You're 7, and you're already writing your own programs?
Yeah.
Well, what sort of things do they do?
Like moving the things to different places to make a trail.
Right, so you're doing all of this on the Raspberry Pi. What do you think about the Raspberry Pi? Do you like it?
Yes.
What's your favourite thing?
Like programming on it.
Fantastic. And Boris, you're obviously really really pleased that Finnegan's writing code already at age 7. What did you think? And was this something you could do before the Raspberry Pi came along?
Yes, it's essentially part of my day job. And I always thought that it would be something that should be in the core curriculum right early on in schools. And when I was thinking about it, I came across this programming language called Scratch, which is essentially a visual programming language that allows people people, primarily children, to drag and drop code together. And the Raspberry Pi is just a very nice platform to allow quite cheaply to do this and implement it at home.
Fantastic. I guess that you say it's cheap. The brilliant thing is that if anything goes wrong, you can just get another one pretty cheaply, can't you?
Very much, yeah. I mean, I think the current model is about £30.
Fantastic. So you're not going to let him loose on your main computer just yet, then?
No, I wouldn't.
Fantastic. Boris and Finnegan, thank you very much for talking.
So there you had Boris talking to his son Finnegan and talking to us. His son's only 7 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty young to get started in programming. I mean, yeah,
his dad the type would be encouraging son into that. Oh, yes. It's a nice kind of thing to do, though,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, I mean, you know, quite often if a parent is in a technical field, it's very difficult to get the kids involved in that in some way that's friendly and kid-friendly. And the Raspberry Pi is certainly something that is accessible for kids. I mean, as Boris said, £30 buys you a Raspberry Pi, ready to go. Plug it into a TV in the kids' room and they've got a computer. You know, I mean, you can't get much cheaper than that.
Is there maths involved as well for the kids as well? Because that's sort of a bit of a learning which is useful at school as well as within the Raspberry Pi computing environment.
Yeah, so we'll come into that in a sec, because we also caught up with Neil, who runs or is one of the volunteers for Code Club, and we'll hear from him in a few moments. But it's great because you can see this progression from scratch, which Boris and Finnegan just talked about, which is the very much sort of just drag and drop bits together. Through to then moving on to Python and so on, which, Lawrence, you were making the point, is actually used at the scientific level.
It's used at the scientific level because it is a programming language that is science-friendly. It's able to do things for research organisations and for scientists to actually enable them to process information and make it into useful research content and actually come up with discoveries using Python. So, you know, what it's getting the kids to learn is logic and the fundamentals of programming, which they can certainly take further into their careers.
Yeah, and that's something that traditionally the school curriculum has been, you know, relatively weak on, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, the basics of maths is not going to give you the logic of programming. So this is certainly going to add a lot of that, and it's going to increase their maths knowledge because you've got to build your maths knowledge around it.
You get
as
a
well.
Bit of critical thought, I guess, thrown in as well to all of this, too.
Absolutely.
Shall we listen to a quick chat with Neil? So he's one of the Code Club volunteers that's trying to solve this problem, really. Okay, so I've prepped Neil Ford here. And Neil, you're involved in Code Club, I think.
Yeah, I'm a Code Club volunteer. I'm helping Code Club with organising some events around the country. And so, yeah, I'm working with Linda and Claire, the two founders, to get Code Club out and people aware of what it does and what it's about and making it more popular than it already is.
So just for those who might not have heard of Code Club before, what is it? What does it involve?
Okay, Code Club is a nationwide network of after-school clubs for children aged 9 to 11. And the idea is that we get schools to sign up, and then we will find, Code Club finds them a volunteer, usually somebody from a technical background, who will give up an hour a week to go into the school and teach kids how to code. And we start with Scratch and move them onto HTML and CSS and then ultimately onto writing code in Python. It's been going just over a year. Its birthday was April. And we're now as of Thursday, so as of the 16th of May, there were 765 active clubs across the country.
And how many in Cambridge, importantly?
Cambridge, hang on, I've got a mental map, I've got to think of the map. It was 3, 5, 7, about 11, I think. But there's another 50. I looked at the map, and our website can tell you how many schools haven't got a club yet, and that number was 54 within 5 miles of where we are today, so at the School of Mathematics.
Okay, now Cambridge 105's done a few technical type days for schools, and we did something with Cottenham Village College. Do you know if they're on Code Club?
I don't, to be honest. I didn't look at the detailed drill down of the map, so I just looked at the because my purpose being here today was very much to kind of get people to think about volunteering, so it was more about the hey, there's all these opportunities rather than necessarily promoting the ones that already existed, so I don't know.
But importantly, how do people who are involved in the school get in touch with Code Club and get Code Club to work with the school?
All they need to do, if they go to the website, which is codeclub.org.uk, where it's all nicely laid out, nice and graphical, and it gives you the options if you want to be a venue or if you want to be a volunteer, and it takes you through a sign-up process. So if you're school, you click on the venue bit and it asks you about the school and explains what's required. And you know, say, in the case of a venue, what you're looking for is a space. Usually it's a computer lab because it's already got the computers in. Somebody from the venue to manage the children, so a teacher or whatever. The Code Club will then find a volunteer and match the volunteer in the school up. And Code Club provides all of the teaching materials. So we provide all the project plans, and then the volunteers go in and take the kids through each project.
So, as a volunteer, and you said they're normally technical volunteers, what sort of skills do they need to have, and what sort of skill level do they need?
Really, they just kind of got to be comfortable being able to answer questions regarding the projects. So, we provide very detailed kind of volunteer notes. So, in actual fact, you don't have to be particularly technically. You just got to be comfortable dealing with a bunch of kids that are 9 to 11, really. You don't actually, if you've downloaded Scratch and had a play yourself, then after that, really, teaching the kids is not very hard at all, because it is all laid out for you. Predominantly, we found volunteers to be people from a technical background, to be developers, because they're the people that are really keen to bring on the next generation. But I think as time goes by, we'll see more and more people who are just, you know, they want their kids to learn, so they'll learn enough to then be able to pass that knowledge on.
Fantastic. So what's been the most fun that you've had with Code Club?
The most fun, it's also the most scary opportunity, was I was very fortunate to go to the Big Bang Fair in London at the end of March, I think it was, and did 4 days in the Excel Centre in London with, and they estimated about 60,000 kids over the 4 days, plus parents and teachers, and that was just phenomenal. Just having the kids come up to our stand, we had big sheets of paper on the floor, so we had kids drawing robots on the floor, but we also had some machines up. And what we do run at our demos is it's a piano that's made out of bananas, and it uses a makey-makey board which interfaces with Scratch. So we have a Scratch program, and when you press the bananas, they make a noise. And the best fun was getting kids to actually, instead of doing it with their fingers, was getting them to play it with their noses, and so you had kids leaning down and doing things. And it's just so much fun when you see their eyes light up, because they feel, you give them the ground wire and they're kind of like, am I going to get electrocuted? No. Just hold that in one hand, and you take your other finger and press a banana. And it's the first time they hear the noise, their eyes just literally just go, you know, they open up, and it's like, that's it, you've got them. And they want to know more. They want to know how it works. They want to know how they can do this at home, and that's it. And it was fantastic. It was 4 very, very tiring days, but definitely the most fun I've had in a long time.
Neil, thanks very much for your time today. Have a great afternoon, what's left of it, and best of luck with Code Club as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And as Neil said, they're fantastic. But Code Club, certainly one way for kids to get involved. And like Neil said, they're looking for people to host Code Clubs. So if your school doesn't have a Code Club, get in touch with them and get one set up. They're looking for parents who have a technical bent to host and coordinate with the school, because it's not just down to school teachers actually organising these. Parents do want to be involved.
So how much help could you get if you're like a parent at one of these schools?
You get all the help you need. So everything is fully documented. All the workshops are documented. So as long as you can read, you can host them. They are not overly technical for the host. But they will get the kids going and get things actually learning, which is great.
And certainly you don't need a computer science degree or anything like that. Although,
no, certainly not.
As he said, a lot of the people that run them, the main thing is just enthusiasm. It's just wanting to do it, wanting to get the kids excited, and just seeing that flash of wow when they accomplish something.
Or when their first program works.
Yeah. Even if it is just the print Hello World 20 go to 10, as I remember doing in all of the computer shops, that I'm sure you do, Julian, as well.
Absolutely. But so, Code Club, one way to get kids started on coding. What's the youngest programmer your organisation's hired, Rob, since you guys...
I think we did actually have an intern who was about 14 or something along those lines.
So there you go, you know, real careers can get started that early.
I think we described it as our longest term investment decision or something along those lines at the time.
It's still with you?
No, he came in over the summer for a few weeks over his summer holiday and then went off to go back to school and then university. But he was awesome.
Back in a couple of years.
So, yeah.
Work experience, kids, starting younger and starting programming.
But it's the Raspberry Jam and the Raspberry Pi more generally, it's not just about the kids, though, is it?
No. It's also about toys and showing off the things that you've built with your Raspberry Pi. And also other electronic add-ons. I mean, the Arduino, we've never spoken about the Arduino on the
Gadget. Maybe we should.
Yeah, I think we should. But, making your Raspberry Pi interact with the world around you, having it do things besides just run bits of programs. So things like display photos on a grandparent's TV as effectively a hands-free photo frame for a grandparent, which you can send emails to with new photos. So something you can give to a grandparent, they plug into the TV, turn on the TV, and it will display the latest photos.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
They don't have to get into Facebook. They don't have to get into any social networking. You create their own social network where all of the family can send them an email, and it appears on the TV.
Oh, that sounds a very good plan.
That sort of project is shown off, and all of the guys who build these sort of projects are more than willing to show you how they built it, so you can build your own. There's no secrets in a Raspberry Jam.
Fantastic. Well, we'll come back to some of the more interesting, perhaps more adventurous of those projects in a few minutes' time.
So, as I was saying at the start of the programme, how do you find out about the next Raspberry Jam? And the website to go to is raspberryjam.org.uk, and they've got an online events calendar which will have all of the next Raspberry Jams. The next one is in York in a week's time. Not sure when the next Cambridge one is, but the organiser did say, I think July was when
I think he was going for one, and then a bigger one, I think he was saying, towards the end of the year. I think he was looking for about 100 people or so towards the end of the year.
There were about 45-odd people, I think.
It's a good turnout.
We went to. So certainly a good crowd, and good to see a lot of kids along, and they were all having a whale of a time.
But really, there was everything from the young kids really writing their first games in Scratch, all the way up to those playing with bigger toys, and we'll save the biggest for last, perhaps.
But certainly robots was a good feature. And, what can you have better than your own robot that you built yourself?
Sounds good. Let's hear from Aaron. Right, so I'm here chatting with Aaron, and you come from a company, I guess, called Pyborg?
Yeah, it's a company called Pyborg, based not far outside Cambridge.
Fantastic. And what do you guys do?
We make robotics control systems for Raspberry Pis, little circuit boards that plug in and enable your Raspberry Pi to control motors, lights, that sort of thing.
So in other words, you make things that let people build robots?
Exactly.
That sounds like fun. Is this your kind of idea of a kind of ideal day job, I guess?
Yeah, it's kind of sort of stuff we were looking to play with when we were younger, first getting into computers. It's like software's fun, but we want to actually do something physical, outside world, real world, and it's kind of an excuse to go back to our roots and play like we were kids again, really.
Excellent. So you've got a couple of robots with you at the moment. Do you want to just describe what it is they do?
Yeah, so we've got Spiderborg, which is a sort of medium-sized-ish robot sort of thing, sort of A4-sized bit of paper, carry around. Really, that's a controllable pair of wheels and a coaster, so you've got some sort of fairly precise control that we're controlling off of a PS3 remote today, but any joystick sort of control, Wiimote, anything like that. We also have a smaller one with us, our Picky robot, which is a beginner's robot, something that you could build yourself in, a couple of bits of glue, bit perspex, a couple of wheels, little board, cheap add-on, put your Pi in, and you have your own first robot.
So what sort of cost are we looking at for these?
So the bigger one at the moment is, unfortunately, PCB's not quite ready, but we're looking at about £20-ish for the control board, maybe a little bit more. So same sort of order of magnitude as the Pi, plus whatever motors you decide to add to it. Whereas the Picky, as I say, much more targeted for younger people. So this is like £3 or £4 a wheel motor combination, a few quid for the control board, all in all, with all the various bits and glue, probably about £15 worth of robot.
Okay, so you're probably going to have a working robot that you can steer around for under £100.
Absolutely, yes.
Fantastic. And if people want to find out more or even maybe buy some of these, how do they get a bit more information about you guys?
So our website is pyborg.org and we're also at PI_BORG on Twitter.
Fantastic. And are these available to buy at the moment or coming soon?
The Picky and its control board are very much available right now. The bigger Spiderball control is hopefully out in the next month.
Excellent. I think I might have to get the credit card out later. Thanks very much, Aaron.
So that's a PIBORG, PIBORG.org, where you can buy all of those bits to make your Raspberry Pi into a robot.
And they really were. They had these things literally driving around the floor between everyone's feet.
Raspberry Pi with wheels. And it was, zooting around and doing
these are doing some small task kind of, just running around kind of robots,
to be honest,
as opposed to invasion, take over the world types.
It was more crash into your ankles kind of robot.
So
but very
good. They're not even going to go so far as to bring you a newspaper and orange juice in the mornings.
I don't know. They had a sort of flat surface.
Your challenge is to teach your Raspberry Pi robot to do that.
There we go.
Absolutely.
That's a challenge, if ever there was one.
but actually, on that subject, there were some guys that were not teaching as such. Yeah, well, it wasn't intelligence in the sort of scary Skynet kind of way. But there were some guys that had built, and as you'll hear in a second, an entirely autonomous sailing boat.
So the problem with autonomous vehicles is generally on road, you've got to worry about the road. And all of the things on the road.
And like the people that walk onto it.
Other cars and people and so on. Whereas on water, it's a lot easier. So they've built this boat.
You say it's easier. I'm not convinced. Having tried sailing myself.
I've sailed as well. And having been reading some of their blog postings on their website, they've been having a few issues. But hopefully they're getting over those. Anyway,
let's
the guys
from
Aberystwyth.
I'm here with a group of guys from, I think not quite Cambridge, but they've come all the way over from... You're from Cambridge originally, are you, Louis?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you've bought a boat, and it's a robotically controlled boat. What's the challenge? What are you trying to make it do?
Well, this summer there's a sailboat competition in America, and there's a series of five competitions, I think?
Yeah,
five events. Things like they have to stay within a 40-metre box for 5 minutes, and if you don't, you lose points, effectively.
So basically, you've got to build a boat that's got to be able to sail itself and do some various tasks.
Yeah, all we can really give it is GPS locations, and then it has to work it all out itself.
So it's just a series of points where it has to sail to.
So I suppose this is similar to what Google are doing with autonomous cars and so on, but it's a lot easier on water because you're not having to worry about getting off the road and so on.
Yes, but in a car it's quite easy to go forwards. You just turn the engine on, but in a boat you have to adjust the sails to the correct angle, and to go upwind it's a lot harder to.
So you have a sailor on the team who at least has the experience of how to sail.
Yes, partially.
How's it going? Is it sailing yet?
Yes, it is. We had it sailing under radio control, and it's been really responsive, like much more responsive than I'd imagined it to be. It's really handleable in really light winds.
So all of the sailing dynamics of tacking against the wind, so that you've got to go zigzagging up and down a course and so on, you've got all of that sussed with remote control, and now you've got to teach the Raspberry Pi to do that.
Yes, that's our next challenge, really, next few weeks.
Most of that has already been written. Really, but we just need to get it a lot better because it's very slow and really bad.
I'm entirely sure, but we don't actually have the individual events programs set up.
Yeah. The final plan is for each event we have a bit of code that specially deals in that event. So to stay in a box, it may just repeatedly go to the same waypoint, and so
just circle itself around a waypoint.
So the teams you're competing against, they're all American and Canadian teams. What sort of challenges are you expecting from these guys? I mean, what sort of schools and universities are these guys coming from?
Well, the U.S. Naval Academy is entering.
Oops. are they allowed to use torpedoes?
I'm not sure. I doubt it. But also, the University of British Columbia are entering. In previous years, I believe MIT have entered, but not this year, I don't think.
All the teams that are entering have got quite a lot more experience than us because they've been competing for many more years.
Yeah.
They have members of staff who just, their sole job is just to do this competition.
So you guys, I think you said you were the only team from the UK, aren't you?
Yes.
So does that make you the UK robotic sailboat, I guess, champions, actually? We'll find out about that in a couple of weeks, maybe.
I suppose so.
Fantastic. And
so where do we find out more about you, and are you going to come back and tell us how you did?
You can go onto our website at www.sailbot.com. Abersailbots.co.uk.
Abersailbots.co.uk.
Excellent. And I know you guys were looking for some sponsorship earlier. Is that still the case?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So this is to help you actually presumably get the thing over to America and also yourselves?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, and if people are interested, or maybe there's some companies that are interested in helping out there, can they get in touch with you, or how can they help?
The details are all on the website.
We even have a donate site page.
Yes, for small donations you can use PayPal on our site. At larger ones you can email me, and my details are on the website.
Excellent. So let's hope that someone comes forward and helps you guys get over and show the Americans how it's done.
Absolutely. Okay.
Guys, all the best and really, really good luck for the competition. Let us know how you get on, and maybe we can chat to you again when you're next around Cambridge.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
So hopefully we can get the guys back when they get back from the US. They've got sponsorship now, or they've had certainly had some sponsorship, so we're hoping that they get over there and do reasonably well. Unfortunately, it looks like they've got some competition. The University of British Columbia have a Raspberry Pi-powered sailbot.
Oh, there we go.
So it looks like the Raspberry Pis are going to be battling it out on the water.
Excellent. Thanks very much. Thanks, Julian.
Thanks very much, Rob. Lance, see you in a fortnight's time. A
couple of weeks' time.
Sounds good. Thanks very much.